In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverant Family Conversation, and as always, it's great to be with all of you. So, as we start off our conversation, we always like to invite Mary to be with us. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. When we pray the Hail, Holy Queen, we actually invoke Mary in these words. Mary is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let us turn to Mary and ask her to be with us, to pray for us and to pray with us, so that we can draw closer and closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, let's pray the prayer that she loves most. It's the Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now I'd like to invite our spiritual director to be with us. Our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has many wonderful titles, among which would be he's known as the Paraclete. He's also known as the Gift of Gifts. He's also known as the Sweet Guest of Our Souls. He's also known as our Counselor. He's also known as our Consoler. And the Holy Spirit is also our Sanctifier. We're all called to pursue a life of holiness. A life of holiness. This will come about by allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us and to sanctify us. So let's turn to the Holy Spirit and humbly ask for his help. We'll pray the prayer inviting him to give us a lot of light, as well as the interior fire of love to burn within our hearts, as we say. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful, by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise. Endeavor rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady Queen of Martyrs, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Isaac Jokes, pray for us. St. John de Brebeuf, pray for us. The holy North American martyrs, pray for us. St. Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. St. Faustina, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. So we welcome you all to our Perseverance family. And how true it is, the family that prays together stays together. In a world at prayer is a world at peace. So I will promise to pray for all of you today in my Mass today. I have a Mass at 12 noon. Thanks be to God. This Mass, I'd like to place you all on the altar with all of your intentions. First, I'd like to pray that all of us will be open and docile to the workings of the Holy Spirit. Our sanctification depends upon this docility to the Holy Spirit. The docility, openness to the Holy Spirit. To the Holy Spirit. We can even pray this prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come to the heart of Mary. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come to the heart of Mary. My next intention will be to pray for all of us that we would work upon our own permanent formation. That we would make a concerted effort to study and learn our faith more. St. Paul says we should be able to give a reason for the hope that is within us in his letter to Timothy. Give a reason to others for the hope that is within us. Being able to explain our faith to others, let's pray that we'll be able to do that. Especially in our families. Because charity begins at home. Then, my third intention will be the following. Let's pray for the conversion of sinners. But especially let's pray for the conversion of deathbed sinners. How many souls are in jeopardy this very day? Living far away from God, totally oblivious of the fact that they're going to be dying within maybe the next 24 hours. And they're not well prepared. Not in the least. So we can offer our prayers and our sacrifices and our communions and our masses. That these wandering souls, these prodigal sons and daughters, these wandering sheep will return to the fold. Let's pray for this, that they indeed will return and be saved. How important it is for God the salvation of souls, and each and every one was saved by the shedding of his precious blood on Calvary that Good Friday. So pray constantly for the conversion and salvation of sinners. Okay, my friends. As always, we have a lot to cover. Before moving in the saints for today, as well as the readings, I'd like to just make a summary of what we talked about yesterday. What we talked about yesterday, my friends, was the person and the heritage and the patrimony of St. Luke. I encourage all of you to go deeper into your knowledge and love of sacred scripture. St. Luke is one of the four evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Gospel of Luke has its own charm. It is one of the synoptic Gospels, which means certain sameness, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But the Gospel of Luke has its own specific, particular identity. Only in the Gospel of Luke are you going to find the first series of mysteries in the Rosary, the joyful mysteries. That's right, in Luke chapter 1 and 2, you actually can find the five joyful mysteries. If a Protestant or a non-believer says, where are the mysteries of the Rosary in the Bible? Well, right off the bat, Luke chapter 1 and 2, you have the five joyful mysteries. St. Luke most likely had conversations with the Blessed Virgin Mary. Because not only was he a writer, but he was also an artist. He was a painter. And according to tradition, he actually painted Our Lady of Perpetual Help. In information in the Gospel, there's a good chance that was given to him through his conversations with the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's a very rich Gospel in its literary style, written in Greek, because St. Luke was a Greek, he was not a Jew. But there's a unique quality to St. Luke because you have some of the most beautiful parables. These inspiring stories that our Lord himself taught, and St. Luke wrote them down in great detail. He was very meticulous and very detailed in his writings. What might be some of these parables that we have of Christ? Thanks be to God for the pen of St. Luke. Well, in Luke chapter 10, we have the parable of the Good Samaritan. In a certain sense, my friends, Christ is the Good Samaritan on the highway of life, but we are called to be a Good Samaritan too. Whenever we encounter any person in need, then in a certain sense, that is our call to help out that person. That poor, suffering person is Christ. He himself said, I was hungry, and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was a foreigner, and you welcomed me. I was sick and in prison, and you visited me. Whenever we do it to the least of our brothers and sisters, then we do it to Christ. Then after the parable of the Good Samaritan that we find in Luke chapter 10, we have Luke chapter 15. It's known as the Lost and Found chapter. It's a chapter of God's infinite mercy. Lost and found because you have a lost sheep and the sheep that is found. A lost coin and the coin that is found, a lost son and the son that is found. And of course, the most famous of the parables is in Luke chapter 15. And it's the parable of the prodigal son that we might even call the parable of the merciful father. We are called to receive God's mercy, to return to Him. His arms are always open. But also we're called to be. We're all called to be a merciful person in our own lives, starting in our own homes. Then there's a parable in the following chapter of the rich man and Lazarus. Why was this rich man lost? Not so much for what he did do, but for what he failed to do. When we celebrate Mass and we pray the Confiteor, we say, I have sinned in thought, word, deed, and omission. Omission means not to do what we're called to do. We're negligent, we're remiss in our obligations, often due to laziness. Also in the Gospel of St. Luke, there are many references to prayer. Before Jesus is baptized, he's praying. The apostles say, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray. And from this, our Lord says, when you pray, say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Before important decisions, our Lord would pray. And our Lord gives us teachings on prayer, parables on prayer, especially in Luke chapter 18. The parable of the insistent widow and the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. The parable of the insistent widow, Jesus is teaching us that we have to be patient in prayer. We have to be persistent in prayer. We have to persevere in prayer and never give up. In the parable of the Pharisee and the publican, has as its central message a certain attitude of disposition of heart we have to pray if we want our prayer to be pleasing to God. And that attitude in prayer would have to be humility of heart. Because God resists the proud. God resists the proud, but God lifts up the humble. God resists the proud, but he lifts up the humble. Therefore, we should pray often, Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto yours. Finally, St. Luke ends his last chapter, Luke chapter 24. We only find this in the Gospel of St. Luke. After Jesus has risen from the dead, two of the disciples are heading away from the church in Jerusalem. They're heading toward a little town called Emmaus. little town called Emmaus, 7 miles away from Jerusalem. And as they're walking in desolation, disheartened, dispirited, confused, this foreigner starts to walk with him. And who is this foreigner? It's Christ himself. He sits down at table with them, breaks bread, and their eyes are able to see Christ. And they say, did not our hearts burn within us as he explained the word of God to us? So often, my friends, I give an Ignatian repetition so we can go deeper. We can go deeper and deeper in our love for sacred scripture. We would be faithful to our holy hour and meditate day and night, as the psalm points out. Blessed be the man who meditates day and night upon the word of God. The law of God is his joy and delight. That should be us. And finally, in the Gospel of St. Luke, honoring Mary, as we should do always, it's mentioned 2 times in the Gospel of St. Luke. Mary, who meditated or pondered the Word of God in her heart. Mary meditated or pondered the Word of God in her heart. We find this after the shepherds, meet the child Jesus in Bethlehem. Mary, for her part, she pondered these things in her heart. Then after Jesus is lost and found in the temple, once again we see Mary pondering, meditating, ruminating. These events in her heart. Pondering, ruminating, meditating upon these things in her heart. So, my friends, we hope that through our conversation yesterday and the beginning of our conversation today, that all of us will take seriously our call to go deeper and deeper into the infinite riches of the Word of God. Amen. So, my friends, today we celebrate the North American martyrs. The North American martyrs. Who lived in the 1600s. Okay, just that you're aware of the whole context. So, Saint Ignatius of Loyola formed the Company of Jesus. And not too long after he died, there's a group of French Jesuits who had a great missionary zeal, a great desire to bring Christ to the new country of the Americas. These are Frenchmen, 8 of them altogether. Six were Jesuits and 2 were laymen. So they wanted to travel from France to North America which would be northern New York. So they traveled into the wilderness of North America. They would be canonized only in the year 1930. I think it's a good idea for us to get to know the names of these saints. They're all canonized, all eight of them together. The two most well-known would be Saint Isaac Jogues and Saint John de Brebeuf. But there are six others. And they're all saints. And they're really spiritual heroes that we should admire very much and pray for their intercession. There was Gabriel Lalamant, Noel Chabanel, Anthony Daniel, René Goupil, and Jean de Lalanne. Also Charles Garnier. So the first 3 years they're going to be working with the friendly Huron Indians, who were about 20,000 people who lived in about 30 villages. This would be upper state New York. Now, I think we think we have it tough, but a life as a missionary in the Indian country was hard and very dangerous. In a certain sense, when they arrived, their lives were going to be at risk. What were some of the struggles or obstacles that they had overcome? Well, the first would be that these Frenchmen had to learn the Indian language of the people. They had to eat, so they had accustomed themselves to eat their food and their whole way of living, their whole different culture. They had to adapt themselves to the Indian lifestyle. And they brought from France their knowledge of both farming and medical treatment. So they worked at planting the faith, but also in giving certain cultural elements that the Indians didn't have. Now it's interesting that all of us in this world, God gives us all different talents. And we should pray for the grace to get to know what are the talents that I have. Very much related to the gospel today. And our Lord challenges us to be vigilant because we don't know when the Master is going to arrive. The Master arriving is Christ, and when he's going to ask us to go from this life to the next to present an account of what we've done. That's the gospel today. The talents that we have, we should not waste them or be lazy. So let's start with John de Brebeuf and Isaac Jogues are the two most well-known of these Jesuit martyrs. John de Brebeuf He was involved in education. He was an educator. These are highly educated, very refined, very gifted men. But each one has a different gift. So John de Brebeuf, he's founding these schools for the Hurons. So not only was he a founder of schools, but he wrote a catechism for them in their own language. So he wrote a catechism and a dictionary for them in their own language. Now it's interesting that Noel Chabanel was very different than John de Brebeuf. Noel Chabanel could not learn their language. And he basically hated their food. So he couldn't speak to them, and he couldn't really stomach their food, but he actually made a vow. Noel Chabanel made a vow that he was going to stay there anywhere, anyway. And these lay missionaries, they worked very hard without being paid. Now, listen to this. Let me say now, it's a real credit to these missionaries in how much they love God because they love what God loves. What does God love most in this world? God loves the human person and he longs for the salvation of his soul. One of these missionaries, his name was Charles Garnier. He walked from 30 to 40 miles to baptize one child. Think about it, walking 40 miles, sometimes through the snow. Mosquitoes, rivers, dangers from animals, because he recognized that one soul is worth the blood of Christ. One soul is worth more than the whole created universe. And St. James says in chapter 5, you save a soul, you bring a soul to Christ, you save your own soul, and you expiate a multitude of sins. Now some of the Indians, they really didn't trust the Jesuits. And they nicknamed them Black Robes because they wore these black religious habits. So when troubles arose, or there was maybe a pandemic, which would spread very rapidly because they all live very close together, community, they would blame the Black Robes for this pandemic. So when the pandemic would break out, many of the Indians would die, and they would point their finger at the Black Robes. Now, given that these Indians, they had many gifts, but also they're very superstitious. They had the idea that the priest's prayer book And the locked box that had the priest's chalice, the Indians thought that the evil spirits were in that black box as well as the prayer book. And you see, my friends, if we do not have a real handle on the real God, we don't really believe in God, how easy it is for us to fall into superstition. That's why I say time and time again, if we do not teach our Catholic faith to others, then easily we can degenerate in the practice of superstitions. For that reason, we have so many of these psychic readers and these places that have surfaced all over Los Angeles, all over the country. Because the human heart has a hunger for God, and if we don't encounter the true God, then we fall in love with a false God. So one day, Isaac Jogues, and the other one, his name was René Goupil. And some Hurons, friendly Hurons, were canoeing down the river, returning from a trip for supplies. The fierce Iroquois attacked and captured them. This would be Isaac Jogues and René Goupil. And they were made the slaves of the Iroquois. And they were tortured. After several months, René Goupil, he was making the sign of the cross over a sick baby. And they killed him. There were some Dutchmen that helped Father Isaac Jogues to escape. And he escapes to France. Now, when he arrives at France, Isaac Jogues, the people could not even recognize him, because he'd aged so much in those very difficult circumstances. And what had happened also is that his left hand was mangled by the Indians who tortured him. Which I have to read up this, but I think they actually bit off his index finger. I think that was what had happened. And according to canon law of the church, a priest can't celebrate Mass if he doesn't have an index finger. When he arrives home to France, he's hailed as a hero. And the Pope gives him permission to celebrate Mass. Now think about this, the courage of this man. Now, if you had suffered so much persecution, torture in one place, most likely you would not return there. You would go in the other direction. But Isaac Jogues, after he recovers his strength in France, he returns once again to North America because he wanted to work with the Iroquois Indians. Don't forget that he was already captured by them and released, but he wanted to go back to them. He wanted their conversion. But during his absence, an epidemic had broken out. And this epidemic was even more fierce than the coronavirus that we experienced the past 3 years. And what they believed was this, is that Isaac Jogues, when he went to France, he left a black box, which was probably his chalice, because they would have these black boxes to keep their chalices safe. They believed that the evil spirits came out of that black box and they caused this this epidemic. So they blame Isaac Jogues, his black box, for causing the epidemic and allowing some of them to die. So they blamed him. So they resolved, when he did come back, that they were going to kill him because he was responsible for their death. So after he arrives from France to North America, they already have plans to kill him. So soon after he arrives, there was a peace banquet. It was going to be held for the Iroquois and the white men. So Isaac Jogues enters this, it's like a really long house. So his being martyred was already planned. An Iroquois comes with a tomahawk and struck him on the head and killed him. Tertullian, a father of the church, has said that the blood of Christians is a seed of Christian growth. Later on, this man that tomahawked and killed Isaac Jogues would become a Christian. He'd be baptized. And he took his baptismal name would be Isaac Jogues, the man that he killed. Interesting, the death of Isaac Jogues brought about the conversion of this man, then he's going to take the name of Isaac Jogues, then this man himself is going to become a martyr. We really see, my friends, the whole idea of throwing the stone in the pond and the ripple effect, or the domino effect. How love produces love. Courage produces courage. Fortitude produces fortitude. We see the whole ripple effect that this caused among these Indian people. So, my friends, Saint Isaac Jogues and the other early American martyrs are honored in a shrine called Orrisville, New York. And actually, about 25 years ago, I actually went there. I went there to make a retreat where the Jesuits still had a house in Orrisville, New York. That's also where Kateri Tekakwitha. Kateri Tekakwitha will come along shortly after the death of these North American martyrs. So they're honored in the shrine in Orrisville, New York, the place where they worked among the Mohawks, which is an Iroquois tribe, and gained their martyr's crown. So it's really fascinating, these North American martyrs. These North American martyrs. And if you read in the Liturgy of the Hours today, it's a page taken from the writings of Isaac Jogues, in which he has a great longing to die as a martyr, so that he can imitate Christ all the more. He can imitate Christ all the more. As mentioned in earlier talks, when we receive the sacrament of confirmation, we have completed receiving the three sacraments of initiation, baptism, communion, and confirmation. We are mature Christian followers of Christ. We should be ready to follow Christ, carrying our cross. And called the martyrdom. The martyrdom can either be what's called white martyrdom or red martyrdom. Red martyrdom would be like these Jesuit martyrs who shed their blood for Christ. White martyrdom is a call to die daily to self. The reading from St. Paul to the Ephesians is basically this. St. Paul, we're going to see a parallel between St. Paul and Isaac Jogues, John de Brebeuf, Noël Chabanel, Charles Garnier, Anthony Daniel, René Goupil, and John Lalanne, in the sense that these North American martyrs wanted to go out and to bring others to Christ. St. Paul, it was revealed to him that he was called to go beyond the Jews and to bring the Gentiles to be co-heirs with Christ and members of the body of Christ. Co-partners in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I think what we're saying here is, my friends, the real call of the North American martyrs, of St. Paul and St. Luke yesterday, and St. Francis Xavier, to be missionaries. That we also are called to be missionaries in one way or another. To be missionaries in one way or another. Most of us adults who are in the perseverant family conversation . We had the privilege of living last century during the life of two of the greatest missionaries in the history of the church. And I had the contact of actually meeting them personally. And they were the Mother Teresa of Calcutta, who founded the Missionaries of Charity, then, of course, The great Saint Pope John Paul II. Now, I would say a third great missionary would be that of Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen. Three of the greatest missionaries last century, Mother Teresa, John Paul II, and Venerable Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen. Great missionaries. Heeding the call of Christ, who said his last words before he goes up to heaven, "Go out to all nations. Teach them all that I taught you. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And behold, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." Pope John Paul II insisted all of us from baptism are called in one way or another to be a missionary. In John Paul II, in his missionary document, encyclical Missio Redentoris, he says that the best mission territory are the big cities. Like New York and Chicago and Manila, City of Mexico, Los Angeles, these big cities are very fertile mission territories. And the biggest group to be evangelized today are not those who are baptized. I mean, not those who are not baptized. But rather, would be those who were baptized Catholics. But for many reasons, they have drifted away from the practice of the faith. So part of the missionary work that we're called to do would to be bring back the lost sheep to the fold. Now the gospel today, Jesus says, using a parable of a master of a house that leaves his servants, and the master is delaying in coming, and one of the servants starts to beat the other servants and beat the handmaid, then our Lord says that when the master comes, those who are negligent will be beaten. And he says the more that one receives, the more severe will be the stripes or the beatings. And I think, my friends, the gospel for today in Luke chapter 12, I think Jesus wants to lay in our heart three basic ideas. Number one is that we have to be prepared. We have to be prepared. Prepared in three ways. That the devil never goes on temptation. The devil never goes on vacation. The devil works day and night. We have to be aware of the wily, crafty, astute tactics of the devil. The devil works day and night. To be vigilant. St. Peter goes on to say that the devil is like a roaring lion. He's like a roaring lion seeking he who he can devour. We're called to resist him, being solid in our faith. We're called to resist him, being solid in our faith. The second is much will be required of the person entrusted with much. Jesus says that at the end of the parable today. So the more that we have, the more graces, lights, talents, opportunities that God has placed in our hands, the more we have to be responsible for the graces and the gifts that God has bestowed upon us. And not to make any of us be nervous, but we are in this perseverance family. We have received many gifts. I have, and so have you. So let's pray for the grace not to flaunt or neglect the gifts and the graces that God has given to us. Let's be generous with God. God indeed is very generous. But God cannot be outdone in generosity. If we're generous with him, he will give us even more. And related to this, I think it's opportune that I say that being ready, not only on guard against the attacks of the devil, not only being industrious and diligent in using our talents, but also we have to be prepared for the day in which the Lord is going to call us from this day to the next, from time to eternity, to be judged. In other words, our death. Let us turn to Mary in this month of October, which is a month dedicated to the Rosary. Which we say, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Let's pray for each other. That we would receive, the grace of all graces to die in the state of grace. By doing that, our souls will be saved for all eternity. Amen. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.